As you can see, this evening we're going to talk about some big questions of life for our young people. And if you consider yourself young this evening, let me encourage you to get out a piece of paper. If you want to jot these seven big questions down, I want to encourage you to do that. So young folks, get your pens and pencils ready. I think all of us here this evening who are older, as we look back to the period of our life that we consider youth or young, we probably would all admit that there are some things that we could do differently. There's some better choices we could have made. There are some better answers to these questions that we could have offered in looking back to these kinds of things. And so if we had an opportunity to go back and look at this again, hopefully through the guidance of God's Word, we would make different choices. And so I think everybody, and I see some heads nodding, I think we all agree that we can look back, and hindsight is 20/20. We can look back and see the way that we should go. And so I hope this evening in that vein to help our young people in looking at some of answers, God's Word. We just sang, how shall the young secure their heart? Thy choicest rules impart. God's Word is imparting to you the answers to these big questions. And I know that a lot of times young people have questions. What am I going to eat today? And what am I going to wear today? And which route am I going to take to school or work? Or do I have time to go shopping and those types of things? And those are great questions. In addition to those questions, there are what I'm going to call the big questions of life, these nails, if you will, where you drive a nail, where you drive a peg. And when you've got the answer to that, it's a foundation for you. And we live in a very shifty world. We live in a world where everything is all over the place morally. The moral compass is just spinning round and round. People are losing their direction. And so we need these nails. We need these pegs to say, this is where God wants me to be at this particular question in life. This is the answer that God has for that, to help us make it through all the way to heaven. And that really is the big goal. We want to go to heaven. We want to be right with God when He comes again, and we want to go to heaven. And so I hope that looking at these big questions this evening and the answers from God's Word will help our young people. I love our young people. I think out in the world there may be that statement, but it's certainly not being shown. We love our young people, and we want to show that by helping as we have opportunity from God's Word to say, this is what God wants for our life. And we're going to focus this evening on the book of Proverbs. So if you'll turn back with me there this evening, we're going to answer these questions from God's Word, and we're going to stay primarily this evening in the book of Proverbs. Question number one. What kind of son or daughter will I be as I grow up? I have quite a bit of choice in that matter. Youth today, a lot of different kinds of characteristics, a lot of different things that they're engaged in, a lot of different kinds of attitudes that are going on. As I'm growing up, what kind of a son or daughter will I be? You know, today in our society, the idea of rebellion is very common. It doesn't necessarily have to end up in a riot, although there are a lot of people who do that. It can be rebellion in a number of different ways, by just simply from a simple no, I'm not going to do that, to an outright riot and a lot of things in between. But what kind of a young person, what kind of a son or daughter will I be? Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. And let's look at some advice this evening from God's Word. I think a lot of times I think of Peter's statement, promising them liberty while they become bondservants of corruption. Our society today says, be free, don't be shackled, don't be constrained, don't let mom and dad tell you what to do in any kind of way. Actually, the other is God's way. Bringing our lives into conformity to His Word, as our godly parents are trying to help us do that, that actually is the freedom. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. And then look at verse 9. For they shall be a chaplet of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. It's like an ornament. It's like jewelry that you put on. When I am obedient and I'm following what mom and dad want me to do, and the assumption is I have parents that are godly parents, and all of you here this evening have that. The assumption is that mom and dad are guiding me in the right way. If I listen to what they say, it's as if I am wearing something on my head or about my neck that adorns me and makes me more attractive. It's not your physical appearance that God is looking for. It's not the physical jewelry and the physical clothes that you wear. It's that inner character that we're going to talk about in just a minute. And it starts with being a child that is willing to hear what mom and dad say and follow those instructions. Look with me at chapter 6 and verse 20. Chapter 6 and verse 20. My son, keep the commandment of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart. Tie them about thy neck. When thou walkest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall watch over thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Guidance all throughout the day. Look at chapter 10 and verse 1. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Foolishness, often in the book of Proverbs, is acting without purpose. Acting without reason and purpose. We're just foolishly or in a silly manner doing something, and it doesn't meet God's purposes. Look at chapter 15 and verse 20. Chapter 15 and verse 20. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Folly is joy to him. It's actually funny. It's actually funny to be foolish. Folly is joy to him that is void of wisdom, but a man of understanding maketh straight his going. Chapter 19 and verse 26. He that doeth violence to his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. You'll see often early on in life young people who will turn on their parents. And when they're real little, you know, they can't do a whole lot about it other than maybe yell at them or scream or go off on them in some way. But when they get on up into teenage years and get a little bit older, and then sometimes it can turn violent. Years ago, I remember seeing a bulletin article about a teenager who hacked their parent to death with a knife in China. Just cut them up. Obviously, that's an extreme case. But we're about to look at some proverbs here that talk about violence toward parents. And young people can actually turn in that direction. Look at chapter 20 and verse 20. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in blackness of darkness. Look at chapter 23 and verse 22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not, yea, wisdom and instruction and understanding. You know, your parents, young people, right now in your life, they're trying to give you that verse 23, wisdom, instruction, and understanding. And that is one of the biggest things that you need to be thinking about right now. Nothing wrong to think about, you know, my car and my cell phone and, you know, my clothes and things like that. But we're talking about the big questions of life. What we nail down, that which is going to make us that faithful Christian and guide us all the way through life. And I believe that there are older folks here this evening that the reason they're sitting here this evening as faithful Christians is because early on they answered these big questions of life the right way, and that's why they're here. So as our parents try to give us these things in verse 23, listen to that, hearken to that, follow that wisdom. Look at chapter 28 and verse 24. 28:24. Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith, it is no transgression, the same as a companion of a destroyer. So we take from our parents. Chapter 30, verse 11. There is a generation that cursed their father and blessed not their mother. Verse 17, the eye that mocketh his father or despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pluck it out, the young eagles shall eat it. And so the eye, just that look, that snide look, that look of defiance or that look of dismissiveness, it doesn't have to be an actual physical act. It can just be a look, the eye that mocketh. We're headed down that wrong path. And so, what kind of a son or daughter will you be? To end on a positive note, this worthy woman, and we'll talk about her later in the lesson, look at chapter 31 and verse 28. In contrast to all of that, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband, and he praiseth her. Do you bless your mother? Have you said something lately to your mother that honors her? Mother's Day is coming up. It's not just once a year where you say something nice to your mother, but on a regular basis. Do you speak to her and thank her for the good things that she has done, for the hard work that she's doing, the meals that she's cooking, the clothes that she's washing and ironing, and 100 other things that hardworking mothers do? Do you say, thank you, Mom, I love you? What kind of a son or daughter will you be? It's a big question. And it relates to these other questions that we're going to get to. It relates to, if I'm of this demeanor, this godly, wise son or daughter, that is also going to be the kind of person that I want to be in other areas of my life that we're going to be looking at this evening. It all works together. What kind of a son or daughter will I be growing up? Here's another big question in life. Who will I choose as my friends or as my associates? Who will I choose as my friends or as my associates? Before we look at some of these proverbs, what would be the criteria that you would use right now to choose a friend? What is a typical way in which somebody chooses a friend today? If I needed some more friends, what criteria would I use? A lot of times it might have to do with someone who's fun to be around, someone who's cool, someone that I get along with. We might have some things in common. There might be some things that we do together, and there's nothing wrong with those things as long as they're good and wholesome things. But is it any deeper than that? Are there any spiritual values tied to any of those kinds of considerations when I look at my friends? Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10. And this is why this is a big question in life. We all know that peers, those who are around us, they affect us one way or the other, good or bad, right or wrong. Companionships, we're social beings, and we're affected by those around us, by their speech, by their actions. And so this is a big question in life, because our friends and our companions will take us in a good way, or they might take us in a bad way. So it becomes a big question in life. Friends and companionships actually do a lot one way or the other with regard to our relationship with God. Chapter 1 and verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You know, we would say today, just say no. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as in shield. And they're talking about all of these bad things that they're going to do. Look at verse 15. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Stay away. Choose your friends carefully. Look at chapter 20 and verse 19. When we make friends and companionships, and it might mean that it means having fewer friends, we're going to be more selective, we're going to be more careful in what we have, in what we choose. We're going to try to use some spiritual guidelines from these proverbs. It might mean having fewer friends, but they will be those who will take us in the right direction. Look at chapter 20 and verse 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer reveal his secrets. Therefore, company not with him that openeth wide his lips. There's some people that we should company with. There's some people that we should have associations with. And then there's some people we just need to stay away from. Now, he mentions here someone who's got loose lips, but it could be anybody that has a quality that does not match God's word. Don't company with that. It affects you. You begin to do the same thing. Look at chapter 22, verses 24 and 25. Chapter 22, 24 and 25. Make no friendship with a man that is given to anger, and with a wrathful man that thou shalt not go. Look at this. Lest you learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. And that really is the whole point. When you're around somebody that's taking you down the wrong path, you're learning from them. You're learning how to be worldly. And you begin to do that yourself if you're not careful, if you don't check that. And we find ourselves going down the wrong path. Lest you learn his ways and get a snare about your soul. Your parents don't want you to learn those ways. More importantly, God doesn't want you to learn those ways, but you're learning from this individual. And so be very careful about who you choose. Look at chapter 24, verses 21 and 22. My son, fear thou Jehovah and the king, and company not with them that are given to change, for their calamity shall rise suddenly, and the destruction from them both who knoweth it. I want you to look in your Bible and underscore that statement, them that are given to change. What is that? That's not talking about technology progress. You know, we've changed from the Model T and now we have a 2019 Chevrolet. It's not talking about changes in technology. You know, the Wright brothers had that old, you know, that biplane looking thing, and now we've got jet engine planes. It's not talking about change in technology. It's not talking about change for the better. It's talking about people who don't want to stay with biblical principles and fixed godly principles. They're given to change. We don't want that. We want something that is new and better, and we want to live the way we want to live. Change in that regard. We don't want to live like our parents. Sometimes you'll hear discussions like that. You know, they're old fogies and they don't know any better. And I'm not going to be like my grandparents. And I want to be different. That's what it's talking about. Different in the sense of leaving the solid principles of God's word. Don't company with people like that. Just don't do it. Because they will take you down the wrong path. Them that are given to change, for their calamity shall rise suddenly in destruction. There's a problem that's at the end of that rope. Look at chapter 27 and verse 17. Who will I choose as my friends or my associates? This is a great chapter. And I believe it was Eric Yacht maybe this morning in his prayer, or I heard it this morning, a quotation from this verse. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Let me ask you this. Do you choose friends only that are yes men to you? They agree with everything you say. They say yes to everything you do. They never question anything. They never offer up any kind of discussion or pause or anything. They just, yep, whatever you want to do. Or do you have friends? Do you have some friends that will actually put iron to iron and sharpen you? And say, well, wait a minute, you might want to think about such and such. Or have you considered such and such? You may not want to do that. You may not want to think that. Have you considered this over here? Something that is going to challenge you, something that's going to confront you. That phrase, iron sharpens iron, is talking about, it's kind of interesting. There's a couple of thoughts there. One is, the iron hammer. They had iron at this time. The iron hammer that is very hard, like the blacksmith, you can beat on iron that has been heated up, and when it's been heated up, it's soft. So you have this hard piece of iron that's beating on a softer piece of iron, and you can actually sharpen it. You can make a weapon out of it. You can do all kinds of things with it. But it's beating on that, and it's making something good out of that. The other idea here is like your iron file at home. I'm sure Roger's got one of these in the tool shed. The old timers know how to use a file. That file, I've got several that my dad gave me. They're made out of super hard iron, metal. And when you're pushing on that that shovel or that axe or the hoe, you are pushing on that and it's shaving off that softer metal and you're sharpening it because you have a harder piece of iron and you're sharpening the softer piece of iron. Well, what is that? There's going to be friction there. There's contact. There is some tightness there. But we need friends like that. Don't surround yourself just with yes men, with people who are just going to, yeah, sure, do whatever you want. Have in your group of friends those who are also going to sharpen your countenance with something that might grate on us. It might be some friction. It might be some toughness there, but it makes us a better person. And then last of all, 29 and verse 3. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots wastes his substance. Now, I don't think our young people are out today. They're not going to go out this evening and company with harlots. I don't think that's going to take place. But can we company with anybody of that like mind that is just going to waste us, just waste us away and not bring us closer to God? Who will I choose as my friends or my associates? Number three, what kind of habits will I form? This is a big question because do you know right now that your practices, what you're doing right now, what you're going to do this week, that is habit forming. And I think sometimes we don't think about that. We think about that as, I know I didn't when I was young. You just get up and you do things. You say things, you do things. You don't really think about the fact that you're building a habit in life that you'll take with you the rest of your life. And a lot of times we are, as adults, what we were as young people, those habits that we were developing. Sometimes you'll see, when we get older, you'll see some radical changes. Every once in a while I'll see that. But typically we are the way we are today as we were as a youth. Typically, right or wrong, good or bad, one way or the other. What kind of habits are you forming now? Dress, talk, actions, reading my Bible daily or not, praying regularly or not, regular in my attendance or not. It can be any one of those, but I'm developing a habit. And I'm going to most likely take that with me throughout my life. What are those habits that I am forming? That's a great question, because what you're taking with you now will go with you all throughout life. And so I want us to think about habit-forming activities. I think sometimes we don't take those seriously. I remember, I've mentioned this before in lessons where when I was in grade school and so forth, we weren't allowed to say, you know, bad words and things like that. So I got as close as I could to all of the bad words, and I said all of those euphemisms, so you know, and I won't go through that, but you know what they are. It sounds like the real thing, but it's not quite. Well, I got into that and developed a habit of that. That was hard to break later. That was hard to break. We're forming habits right now, and when we're young, and we often take them with us. So we need to take that very seriously. Hopefully we're forming those good habits. Look with me at chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. Look at the different parts of this young person's life. Every aspect of his life, what he looks at, what he listens to, where he goes, his thoughts, these are all habits that are developing right now. My son, attend unto my words, incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Let's look at some of these habits, what I think about. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a wayward mouth, the habit of my language right now, the words that I'm using on a daily basis. basis. Put away from thee a wayward mouth and a perverse lips, put far from thee. Now look at what I look at each day. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. And then where I go, the habits that I'm making there, make level the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So what I say, what I think, what I look at, where I go, I'm developing habits right now, one way or the other. Let's develop good habits. Let's develop godly habits. So yes, reading my Bible each day and praying each day, making sure my Bible class lesson is filled out. That's important. That's an important habit. That's how I learn God's Word, and I'll take that with me all through my life. Being present when the doors are open. Kind deeds toward others. Being a good young Christian. Develop habits that you'll take with you and that you can be proud of later in life. What kind of habits will I form right now? This is a critical part in your life and point in your life where you'll take these things with you. Here's another question. What kind of, in a similar vein, what kind of character will I develop? You know, a lot of times right now in your life, what you're thinking about is your physical image, what I look like. Is my hair, does my hair look good? Does my shirt look nice? Is my makeup on right? As a young man, we have our things that we want to, you know, people to see physically, you know. And there's nothing wrong with physical appearance and that type of thing. But I want to challenge you this evening to look deeper than that. To ask a deeper question. When you get up in the mirror and you look at yourself, you know, fix your hair and your face and all that, but then look deeper. Look below that. Look below the surface and ask yourself, what kind of character am I developing? That means who I am as a person. It's not the outward appearance. I'm going to go deeper than that. Am I a person of integrity? Am I honest? Am I upright? Am I pure? Am I kind? Am I sacrificial? Do I help other people? What kind of character do I have? Ask yourself that this evening. That's what matters. God, we know from the selection of David, for example, as being king, he doesn't look on the outward appearance. He looks on the heart. And who was the good-looking man, Saul or David? Saul was the good-looking man, right? But what kind of a life did he lead? Absalom was a good-looking man, wasn't he? But what kind of a life did he live? So we have these situations where we're focused on our outward appearance and we're head and shoulders above the rest. And we have this long flowing hair and we look just awesome. But inwardly, we're not the person we need to be. And that's where God is looking. That's what God's looking at. God doesn't look at our outward appearance. It's what Peter is going to call the hidden man of the heart. When he's talking about the godly woman in 1 Peter 3. That's where God is looking. So what kind of a character am I developing right now? Because like those habits, your character that you're developing right now, often that's the character that you'll be later in life. And so a lot of times when we look at these matters from a worldly standpoint, it's often, you know, outward achievements and physical looks and that kind of thing. That's what people of your age focus on right now. And there's certainly nothing wrong with achieving good things in life. But in addition to all of that, make sure that you're working on that character. Turn with me to chapter 10 and verse 7. Of course, in the Bible, the word name or the idea of someone's name is not their personal name, but their character. In chapter 10 and verse 7, the memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. You want to be a person, young people, you want to be a person that if you were to be taken from this life prematurely or live your whole life to a ripe old age, you want for there to be a memory of you that you were a righteous person. The memory of the righteous. It doesn't say the memory of the person who stood in front of the mirror and they were just really good looking. They had all the stuff on the... No, it says the memory of the righteous. That speaks to character. That's what you want to be. And that's what you want to be remembered for. Not the way you looked, but who you were on the inside. and that you were righteous. Look at chapter 20 and verse 11. Chapter 20 and verse 11. What kind of character am I developing right now? Work on those characteristics of honesty and purity and nobility and service to others and kindness and respect. I will say this about some young people that I have been around recently. I am very glad and hopeful. I hear things like, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. I'm hearing respect, and that's encouraging. And I'm hearing that from some young people whose parents are Christians. I heard that yesterday from a young man over at U-Haul when I went to get some propane. He came out, and several times it was yes, sir, no, sir. And I just stopped him and said, I want to thank you for being respectful. You keep that up. So there is some hope for our youth. There are some good things that are being done. So in addition to respect, all those other godly qualities. Look at chapter 20 and verse 11. Even a child maketh himself known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. You can tell right now where you're at in life. Others can see that. God can see that. Be developing that godly character. And then, of course, chapter 22 and verse 1 that we're very familiar with. A good name, that's talking about a reputation, it's talking about a character, look at it, is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. It doesn't matter how much money we have. There's nothing wrong with working hard and saving and doing well and having things. Nothing wrong with that. But what's better than that is a good character, a good reputation. So as you're going through life, make sure that you're working on that just as much, or if not more, than things like education and getting a job and so forth. And along those lines, let's look at the next one. What kind of an occupation will I have in life? What will be my life's occupation? A lot of times people focus on wealth. Am I going to be able to make money? Am I going to be able to buy this or buy that? Turn with me to chapter 15 and verse 16. I'm not going to talk this evening about a particular job to have. I'm not talking about that. What I want to talk about this evening from just these two verses is whatever the job is you pick, make sure that God is still first in your life. I'm not going to talk about a specific job to get. There's all kinds of great jobs out there to get. But when you choose that life's occupation, make sure that God is still first in your life. In chapter 15 and verse 16, better is a little with the fear of Jehovah than great treasure and trouble therewith. I've got this great job and I can have all kinds of things. I've got all kinds of money. I can buy all kinds of things. But there's trouble with that. And the proverb writer says it's better to have less and be right with God. I have someone very close to me that when they were young, they were pursuing their education and then later pursuing their occupation. So much so that they neglected the Lord. After about 25 years, they got a divorce. This person left the faith, had many money troubles and problems, but when they were young, they were focusing on education and their job. It's not either or. It's not one or the other. You can do both. You can focus on your education and your job, but make sure you're focusing on God because it's real. It happens to real people every day. And they go down this path and they choose an occupation that slowly takes them away from the Lord. A lot of times it starts with their attendance. They stop attending. They stop praying. They stop reading their Bible. They stop talking about spiritual things. And like Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, they just fill their lives with all kinds of material types of things, chasing the American dream. And Solomon says the end of the matter is to fear God and keep His commandments. But many are chasing that American dream and they suffer spiritually toward it. Look at chapter 16 and verse 8. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice. So what kind of an occupation am I going to have? Make sure that whatever it is, whatever God-given talent God gives you to serve in, make sure that when you choose that, you stay faithful to the Lord. And then, who will I marry? Big question. Today, often, marriage is that which is brought about by, am I sexually attracted to this person, or do I have a lot in common with them? And those are two natural things. We're going to marry those that we physically see and are attracted to, and we have things in common. We like these particular books, or we like this particular restaurant, or we like this particular thing to do. Often those are the main considerations, but I'm here to tell you this evening from God's Word, they're not the only considerations. And they're really not the most important considerations. What is important is this person a godly Christian? Turn with me to chapter 19 and verse 14. There's a couple of passages here that I just want to mention. House and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from Jehovah. Am I about to marry someone that is from Jehovah, that He is giving me because they're living right with Him? They have a right relationship with Him. In the matter of the worthy woman, if you'll turn with me to chapter 31 and verse 30, it's interesting that a good part of this, as you know, is talking about what a hard worker she was. But right down at the end, look at it, in chapter 31 and verse 30, grace is deceitful and beauty is vain, outward appearance. But a woman that fears Jehovah, she shall be praised. That's who we look for. That man or that woman that fears the Lord and loves the Lord. We're going to worship God together. We're going to go to heaven together. We're going to read our Bible together. We're going to pray together. We're going to talk about spiritual things together. We're going to come and worship together. And that's who I need to be gravitating toward as I go through life. It's not a sin to marry a non-Christian. But when we marry a non-Christian, that can take us away from the Lord. It doesn't have to. I know of all kinds of combinations. I know of brethren who have married non-Christians and they've never been taken away from the Lord. I've known of brethren who have married non-Christians and they have been taken away from the Lord. I've known of brethren who have married non-Christians and converted them later. I've known of brethren who married non-Christians and never converted them their whole life. There's all kinds of combinations that you can talk about. But if we will marry someone who is of spiritual like mind, who fears the Lord, our marriage will be so much easier. It'll be grounded on the same principles, and it will be there in service as we go through life. Choose a faithful Christian to marry. Go to places where those faithful young Christians are and strike up a relationship with them, and you'll be highly rewarded for that. And then last of all, the last big question that I would ask you to consider is, what am I going to do right now with my life in relationship with God? There is a God, as we sing in our psalm books. He is alive. In Him we live and move and survive. So, He's there. Whether we want a relationship with Him or not, whether we want to obey Him or not, He's there. And it's this part in your life where you decide if you want to have a relationship with Him or not. I see so much today in our society. It's the me generation. I control my life. I do my thing. I'm going to do what I want to do. We live in a world like that. That's a popular motto today. When in fact, we need to be saying, God is in control of all things. And I want to bring my life under the control of His Word and His will. Let's look at a few of these and then we'll close. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Of course, these verses deal with the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's the foundation. Fearing God. I believe He is. I fear Him. I respect Him. I want to obey His Word. Foolish people just simply despise wisdom and instruction. Look at chapter 3 and verse 5. I'm a young person. I'm going to let God guide me. Trust in Jehovah with all thy heart and lean not upon thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He will direct thy paths. As you're going through school, let God
direct you as you're making those life choices about marriage and an occupation.
What does God want for me? How does He want me to live in these different relationships? I'm going to let Him guide me. Look at chapter 15 and verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to Jehovah, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. As a young person, I'm going to pray.
How's your prayer life? I asked somebody that recently. How's your prayer life? Are you praying like you should? Develop that good habit of prayer regularly.
All the time, throughout the day. Reading God's Word regularly. Look at the same chapter, verse 29. As a young person, I'm going to let God guide me. I'm going to pray to Him. Jehovah is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. I'm going to develop a habit of constantly going to His Word and constantly going to Him in prayer. Letting Him speak to me in His Word and I speak to Him in prayer. I want to start that right now in my youth. I want to build a strong relationship with God. God's not going to be out here on the fringe. God is not going to be a church building thing where you just sort of, I do God three times a week. Sometimes people will say it that way. I do God three times a week. It's not just something that's out here on the fringe. It's the center of my life. It's not just something my parents drag me to. It's the center of my life. And I'm going to develop a good relationship with God, and that'll serve me as we go through life. Look at chapter 22 and verse 19. 22:19. They that trust may be in Jehovah. Thy trust may be in Jehovah. I have made them known unto thee this day, even thee. I have not written unto thee excellent things. Have I not written unto thee excellent things of counsels and knowledge, to make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may carry back words of truth to them that send thee. I'm going to have a relationship with God where I'm going to read the excellent things of His counsel and knowledge. I'm going to know the certainty of the words of truth. The Bible's not a fake and a fraud. The Bible is not a fairy tale and a fabrication. It's words of truth. And as a young person, I'm going to know those things. Well, we'll stop there. You can look at those other proverbs that deal with a person's relationship with the Lord. Reading and knowing God's Word. Praying. Trusting. Letting God guide me. Of course, that starts with becoming a Christian and being baptized into Christ. And it continues throughout in other avenues and relationships in and out of the church. We're going to stand and sing this song of encouragement in just a moment. We would encourage you to come. What kind of son or daughter will I be? Who will I choose as my friends or associates? What kind of habits will I form? What kind of character will I develop? What will be my life's occupation? And when I choose that, will God still be at the center of my life when I do? Who will I marry? And what will I do now with my life in relationship with God? I hope those big questions answered from God's Word will help you to stay on track with your Maker. We have young people here who have started that road, and I hope this evening this will help you to continue on that road. I'm thankful for our young people. I appreciate them. I love them. And I hope from God's Word we can all go to heaven together. If you're subject to the invitation, we want to encourage you to come. Maybe a part of answering those big questions, especially the last one, maybe it means I'm not in a right relationship and I need to be baptized into Christ. Let us help you do that this evening. If you need to come back in some way, we would encourage you to do that. But when we nail down these big questions, they'll take us all the way through life. And they'll take us to heaven. If we can encourage you to make your life right, why don't you come as we stand and as we sing?